But it's so great to have you all with us this morning. We're continuing on in our series called Move. And before I continue on with our sermon today, I'd just like to introduce to you someone who has just joined our staff team here in Open Arms. And her name is Kelly McCormick. Kelly is going to come forward. Kelly is now our operations director in Dublin, and she also assists our operations right throughout both locations. We've got a church in Newbridge of Kildare and also here in South Dublin. And Kelly has just come on staff, and she's going to be a vital part of us in our next season and going forward as we're continuing to grow. And as you know, when you grow, if you've grown a family, if you've grown a business, if you've grown in any area of your life, growing brings complexities, and Kelly's going to simplify everything. She is just the missing part for it all. But really, Kelly just got such a great heart, an amazing person. It'd be fantastic for you just to get to know Kelly. Kelly's married to Ross. They've been a part of our church for such a long time, over a year now. And it's amazing to have her on board as well. So please give a massive round of applause for Kelly. Thanks, Kelly. So, yes, and as you know, we do have a staff. I know some people ask me, you know, do you do anything during the week? Is this a real job? Or, you know, is there anything you do? Or do you do this just on Sundays? But we actually, we all work 40, 50 plus hours a week investing into this, because I wish church was just about Sunday morning, but it's not. It's much more than that. Life has complexities, people to be pastored, to be prepared for, and we spend all of our week preparing ourselves, but also preparing our environments, preparing our ministries, because when, as we say, God, we want you to use us, but we don't just turn up and expect God to do all the work. We believe that God's going to do it, but he prepares us to be able to steward what he's going to do. And so we've got a great team, and we will introduce them over the next few weeks, because we're leading up to, at the second week of October, we're going to have Vision Sunday, looking towards 2020, where we believe God is bringing us as a church, and we're going to be introducing who we have on team, who we need on team, where we're going. That's why you see today the setup is a little bit different with the chairs, because the only thing that is constant is change, not chairs, and because we just want to see how can we best create our environments to best create an experience for us to be able to worship God, but also just be able to hear his word and to create a welcoming environment. And we've also added spaces. We're taking over the whole conference center here in the Clayton, and because we want to expand our space, we want to prepare, and all of our kids' spaces, we've doubled all of our kids' spaces to create more room that our kids would have fun and learn about Jesus in a safe and secure environment, but that they would have room also. I got three little boys. You've seen one of them, a little baby who's up here. I got two other ones, and they just love to run around. That's like their greatest love, just want to run around and scream. And but we got to create space for that. And so we are growing, and we are moving on, and where God is bringing us to. And so our series is also looking at what that means for us, preparing ourselves for what God is doing in us, because we believe that we're going to see a great move of God in our lives and in our land. And last week, we looked at moving on. And so moving is a process where we're leaving the old to step into the new, letting go of what we have so that we can take hold of what God has for us. And oftentimes, it is our fear of moving on that causes us to miss out. It's our fear of moving on that causes us to miss out on where God is calling us. And today, what I found is in this process of moving on so that we can move in where God has us, to move towards where God is leading us, is that when we're in the middle of a move, when we are in the space between where we were as we're heading towards the goal, or heading towards the new, or the place, the person, or the purpose in which God is calling us towards, it's in this stage or in this season of our life, in that space between, in the middle, where we face opposition. It's in the middle where we face the greatest battles of our lives, the greatest trials of our lives, because if you've discovered this, that as you try to move forward, we always face something to push us backwards. Whether it's our past, whether it's our old thinking patterns, whether if we're Christians and we're moving on to what God is calling us to, we have an adversary who's always trying to push us back. And so I believe that God is calling us with faith to push forwards rather than being pushed backwards. That knowing that in the middle, even though I'm walking and it feels like I'm not getting anywhere, I'm going to trust in God. And here's what I found, that when we are in the middle, we are in this stage or this season of our lives, of the space between, we've got to do a lot of one thing: waiting. There is a lot of waiting. And today I want to talk about the weight of waiting. The weight of waiting. Waiting is one of the most difficult things that we will do in life, especially when we are wanting. We don't want to be waiting. We are wanting to go, wanting to be, wanting to do something. And waiting in this season is painful. Waiting is stretching. Waiting is frustrating. And it's a weight that each of us carry. Waiting on God for Him to provide. Waiting for Him to fulfill His promises, to answer our prayers, waiting for Him to be able to give us the strength and the courage and the hope to overcome temptation, to overcome sin, to overcome shame and guilt, and continue be able to move towards where He's calling us to. And there is a heaviness. There is a burden. There is a weight to waiting. But what I want to encourage you in today, I believe that if we would just trust in God, that if we would trust in the process, because the process is not instantaneous. Society, we've got an instant culture. Now, I want it now, go for it. But when you're following God, it's a process. It's a process of moving. It's where we need to be patient in the process. And oftentimes, we don't see any progress in the process. We don't see where we're going. We don't see the fruit now. It's like planting a seed and standing back and waiting for it to blossom, waiting for it to be able to take fruit. But what have you got to do? Once you plant the seed, you've got to water it. You've got to take care of it. You don't see anything on the outside, because what's happening underneath is roots are being born. Roots are being rooted with a strong foundation, so that when it does blossom and grow and become what it's meant to be, that's when it will bear fruit. The same is true for our lives. It's the in-between. It's in the middle. It's in that season of waiting in which we need to focus on. And there is a weight to it. There is a heaviness, there is a burden to it, but we must believe that we will see God's promises fulfilled in our lives. Are you with me this morning? Come on, say amen if you're with me. I need you to help me today, because it is a struggle. It is a struggle when you've heard God say, but you haven't seen what He said come to pass already. It's a struggle when you've heard God's promises, but you're not seeing those promises realized in your life. It's a struggle when you know what God is calling you towards, but you're not seeing it come to pass. But we must wait. We must continue to wait. We must continue to press in. And today, to illustrate this and to show this in Scripture, we're going to look at Psalm chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. If you got your Bibles on your phone or you've brought it with you, of course, the Scripture is going to be on the screen. And this is one of my favorite Scriptures and passages in the Bible, because it's about a man called David. He's becoming the king of Israel, but in this season of his life, he's in a season of waiting. And why I love it is because he's so real and open and honest and raw. And in this scenario, in this setting, as he's writing these words, really it's a worship song to God, like we just sang. But it's his own worship song, his own heart's cry to God. He's in pursuit, being in pursuit of, by King Saul, who is out to kill him, to destroy him, to cut off what God has laid out for him in his life. And most scholars believe that in this place of writing, that he is in the cave of Adullam. It is a place, a stronghold, in which he and his men, those who are following him, have set up. And because out of fear, they're in hiding. They're hiding from King Saul, who's out to kill them. And they're in this place where they're weary, they're worrying, and they're waiting. And David is holding on and waiting for God to call him and to cause him to move on from the place in which he is in, to move out from hiding and into the place in which God has from. And so he writes these words in verse 1. He says, "How long, Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." But then he turns in this place, in this worship, where he's crying out to God, but then the faith in him, the attitude in which he's chosen to choose, is not one who stays in that place of worry, who stays in that place of weariness, but decides, I'm going to continue to wait on God. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. Amen. But he begins, how long? We've all asked this, haven't we? How long is this going to take? How long until this pain ends? How long until this insecurity will finish inside of me? How long until God heals me? How long will it be until I can finally be myself again? How long will it be until I come through this? And as we're waiting for something to happen, we're waiting for something to change, we're waiting to move. We're waiting for God to continuously to bring us to that place where he moves us, and we're waiting, and it's in this place that we respond, how long, God? You know, it's been ingrained in us, both through the culture we've grown up in, but also the society that surrounds us, to work for what we want, not to wait for what we want. We've all been taught, well, if it's not happening, go and make it happen. You know, it's a biblical principle to wait on God, but really it's counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense. Why would you wait on God in order for it to come to pass and come to happen? And oftentimes we convince ourselves that waiting's not worth it. I shouldn't be waiting on God. I should just go and make it happen. You know, it's funny that even, I don't know about you, but my mom always used to tell me, she used to say, patience is a virtue. Have it if you can. Seldom in a woman and never in a man. And I've lived out that. And, it, you know, waiting, I find waiting so, so hard. You know, waiting even is simple things. Like waiting in a queue in order to pay for groceries or to buy a cup of coffee. I am that person who sees a queue, maybe there's three or four queues, and I'm eyeing up the queue, and I'm seeing one that goes further ahead. I'm the one who jumps over like that, only to find out that the other one goes ahead, and then I jump again, and is anyone like that? Have you ever sat in traffic and you thought, I am going to abandon my car right now because it is quicker to get out and to walk to go to where I want to be rather than to just stay and wait? Waiting is so hard. Waiting, whether it's when we're in that place of what feels like, you know, whether it's in the doctors or the dentists or the barbers, it feels like waiting is an eternity. Waiting is so hard. It is so difficult to be patient, especially in this world that's so instant, especially in this world that says, now, go now, get it now. Don't wait for it, go get it. And often it can feel like to wait is more work than to go and just to do it. Because we say, I want it. Now, there's a frustration that builds up and rises up within us that convinces us, just stop waiting and go now. There is a weight. There is a heaviness. There is a burden that each of us carry when we're waiting. And David says, how long must I wait? How long must I wait on you, God? Will you forget me forever? How many of us feel like this? Forgotten, unseen, unheard, unknown, unloved. Often it can feel like we can sense God's absence more than we can sense his presence. I'm just being real with you today. Because David, he's real. He's honest. He's not, oh, praise Jesus, hallelujah, everything is good, everything is great. I'm just, waiting on the abundance grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. He's not like, I'm down in the dumps. Life is tough. It is hard. But I'm waiting on God. I'm trusting in God. But often it can feel like we sense God's absence more than his presence. He says, how long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, the voices in my head convincing me that I'm not good enough, that it will never happen, that what I'm waiting for will never come to pass, that this someone I'm waiting for will never come into my life. So what do? I settle. I choose to settle for what I have here rather than wait for what God has for me. I choose to give in to my impatience rather than continue to focus on my patience, on God, on waiting on God. He says, and day after day, I have sorrow in my heart. This gnawing feeling of pain and of hurt and of anguish and self-doubt and guilt and shame for what I've done. Disappointment for who I've become. Disappointed by not just God, but the people in my life. Deep sorrow, he says. Rooted in pain. It's so deep that I feel like I can't get down just to rip it out, but I want to. It's deep. How long will my enemy triumph over me? And when will I ever get a win? When will I ever get a break? Is this always the way it's going to be? When will those feelings of mediocrity pass where I can be finally confident in who I am and what I've done and what I'm doing? When will there be a break in the monotony where I may be able to taste and sense and touch this sense of success and sense of fulfillment? Or maybe it's not monotony, but rather it's the crazy. When will the craziness end? When will the storm stop overwhelming me in such a way where I can just feel like it's overwhelming me and it's pressuring me? When can I finally be confident? Confident in who I am. Secure in who God has called me to be. You know, often we find ourselves in this place in deep sorrow and feeling that the enemy is triumphing over me. And we, in that place, we can often look to distract. We can look to numb. We can look to be scrolling through the lives of others through social media, looking at all the good things that's happening and all the great moments. And sometimes it exaggerates in us how we are feeling. It exaggerates that who we aren't rather than who we are. It exaggerates in us what we haven't done and what we've missed out on rather than what God has done in our lives. It exaggerates in us so much so that the insecurity becomes our focus rather than our security in Jesus Christ. It exaggerates in us that where I'm not going rather than where God has brought me from. And the truth is that how we see ourselves and view ourselves is not at all the image in which Jesus Christ sees ourselves. He sees us as precious. He sees us as loved. Someone that he values. And I don't know about you, but when I in that place, when I feel like the enemy is triumphing over me, not just the enemy of the adversary, but the enemy of my mind, I need to keep going back to scripture like Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the plans and purposes I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans that will prosper you and not harm you, that will give you a great hope and a great future. And you allow God's promises and words to ring truth into your life, that God has chosen me. He cares for me. He's called me, so I will be confident in him. I will not allow this to overcome me. I will not allow this to overwhelm me. I will not focus on those things that I'm not, that I should be, or that I will never be, but I will focus on what God says about me, that he says is true. And I may be waiting, and I'm not seeing anything happen, but I will trust in the Lord my God. David is in this place, the same place that many of us feel so often. He says these words in verse 3. He says, look on me. Answer me, Lord my God. He says, I'm crying out to you. He says these words in verse 4. Sorry, in verse 3. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Give me a vision to see. Give me a hope to be able to see a light at the end of this tunnel, to know that I'm on the right path, that I'm in the right trajectory towards the place in which you're calling to me. I will sleep in death and my enemy will say I've overcome him. And this is David's heart crying. If I was to be honest with you today, this is my testimony. This is the place I keep coming back to. Keep going, how long, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? When will this end? And I love it because David is so introspective. He's so real and so raw. And I would just hope that we as Christians, that we in church, that we could be this way. Not rather fake and struggling in the shadows, struggling on our own, that rather we rip our heart open to others in community and say, this is how I feel. This is what is going on in my life, and that we could find solace in this. That it's not a bunch of people wearing masks trying to just tough our way through it, just building up faith in us, but rather faith in Jesus. Amen. You see, David knew what it meant to wait. He carried the weight of waiting. You see, David was anointed to be king at 16 years old. He was chosen by the prophet Samuel through God, chosen by God through Samuel to be the next king after the current king Saul. And at that time in which he was chosen and anointed, he was seen as the lowest of the low, meek and feeble shepherd boy. One translation says that he was the runt of the litter, that he was looked down upon, and yet God chose him to be a leader of a nation. And then we see in the next chapter of his life, as he was anointed to be king, he famously comes up against the giant Goliath, and he slays Goliath, and he goes from this feeble shepherd boy to being a warrior and a leader of a nation. And he's one who becomes famous throughout Israel, and he's given Saul's daughter, the king's daughter, hand in marriage as his wife, and everything is going great. Everything is going wonderful. But then Saul becomes jealous of David. As Israelites began to cry out, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. And what happens is that bitterness rises up in Saul, and he goes to kill David. And miraculously, David escapes both of Saul's attempts to kill what God has sown into David's life. And David goes on the run. And he spends the next decade of his life in the wilderness. He spends the next decade of his life forgotten, hidden, trying to survive, trying to just stay out of Saul's way of trying to end his life and trying to just stay alive. And many of us feel like that. We're just trying to stay alive. We're just trying to stay in the race. We're just trying to keep our head above water. If I could just survive. If I could just get through this day and get some sense of peace and contentment and calm in my life. And for 14 years, David has been waiting. From the moment in which he was anointed as king as a 16-year-old boy until he became king as a 30-year-old man. And for 14 years, he lives life where everything around him and everything in him tells him that he's no one and he'll never amount to anything. Everything around him proves to the point that what God has spoken over your life will not come to pass. 14 years holding on to the hope for which that moment in which God had anointed him and appointed him might come to pass when everything around him tells him that it will never happen. You are forgotten. You are nothing. You are worthless. And I love that we find in these scriptures, in this moment, it's like we drop in this moment in his life where he's in the middle of this. He's in the space between. He hasn't yet seized or seen what's come to pass. He's in this place, in the middle of a move, and he cries out these words in verse 5, but hope begins to rise in him. He says, but even though it doesn't look like it's going to happen, even though I haven't got enough money or energy or education, even though I haven't got anything going for me or anyone with me, I trust in your unfailing love. You see, there is a way to waiting, but the key that will keep us is to trust in God, to trust Him in the process. And I know that's like basic, simple, but if we would just keep going and trusting Him in the process and knowing that what we're going through will end. And what we're going through, there will be an end to it, that we will see light at the end of a tunnel. But it means trusting through the storm, trusting through our pain, trusting through the adversity that we have in our life, the self-doubt and the hopelessness, and trust that His love will never fail us. Trusting that He will never let us down and that He will never let us go. You see, the key is trusting in the process, because moving is a process. Moving, believing that there is a move, and moving on from where we are, and in that middle, in that place, is where God does His greatest work in us. Though we may feel forgotten and deep sorrow in our hearts, like David says, feeling that the enemy is triumphing us, we believe that God's love will never fail us. You see, often we want to go and do. We want to go and do something or build something, when God wants to build something in us. God wants to do something in us. He wants us to learn to be in Him before we go and do for Him. Though we may have been appointed assignment, and though we may have been called and chosen, He wants to do a great work in us first, before He does a great work through us. You see, the key to God moving through our life is God moving in our life. The promise that David will become king was given to him as a young man, but it wasn't fulfilled until he became the man in which God was calling him to be. He was appointed an assignment that he could never carry out. So God shaped him to become the man that could carry the calling in his life. See, God may have given you an appointment, an assignment, a unique calling in your life that you've not seen come to pass. It's because God is shaping you and forming you to become the man or the woman in which He is calling you to be, so that you can carry out His calling on your life. The promise that He's placed in your life will come to pass, but not before you become the man and woman in which He is calling you to be. Because He's preparing you for a move. He's preparing you to see that promise to come to pass. He's preparing you to become that person. And it's in that forming, it's in that shaping, it's in that molding place where God does His work in you. It's in that place where God is preparing you to be able to carry out the assignment which He has given you. One thing that God has taught me over these years is to recognize the season that I'm in. There has been many seasons, I'm sure you've gone through the same, where God has used those seasons to instill deep roots in me and build strong foundations in me. And it's often the most difficult, the hardest things, where things come up that I realize I need to remove in my life. I need to go through a process, whether it's in counseling, whether it's in repentance, whether it's in changing my disciplines and my habits. But God does these things in these seasons. But before I enter into a season where He says go, before I enter into a season where He opens the door, He gives the opportunity. And I see the fruit, but not the fruit before the foundation was built. You see, we need to be able to sense the season that we're in. We need to be able to recognize the season that we're in. We need to be able to name the season that we're in. For 6 years before we launched the church, myself and my wife were going through a process where this was happening. Going through a process where God was building inside of us a foundation where we had to learn to wait on Him. We had to learn to be in Him before we could go and do for Him. We had to go and to learn how to reside in God, how to stay in God, how to be secure in God before we went and did for God. You hear me what I'm saying? You see, so often we want to go and do something before God wants to do something in us. And we need to recognize this season that we're in and to know that God in this season may be a season of waiting, but we're waiting before the Lord so that when the Lord says so, we'll be able to go. And we'll be able to take hold of what that in which He's preparing in us and preparing for us. Because here's the thing. It's so easy for us to compare our season to the season of someone else. It's so easy to look at others enjoying summer while we're enjoying winter. It's so easy for us to watch on as we're seeing others see their dreams discovered while we're being in a place of disappointment. It's so easy for us to see others achieve greatness when we're experiencing weakness. We're seeing the prayers of others answered, the hopes of others realized, the dreams of others come to pass, but we're still holding on. We're still waiting. We're still saying, God, when will that happen for me? God, when will you bring change into my life? When will you bring movement into my life? And we can watch on with a competitiveness and a discontentment in our heart when we're going through this season, because the weight of waiting is this thought that it will never happen to me. It's this thought that I'll always be this way. And what happens, it can form unhappiness and discontentment in our life, where we become disappointed with the life that we're living and the person that we become. And we can be disappointed in God's delay. But what I've noticed is God often delays in us so that we can depend on Him. God may have not have delivered you just yet, and He's delayed you so that you can depend on Him. You see, God is watching for us as in this season of waiting. There's some things that He is holding on from you because not yet can you handle it. Rather than being independent, you need to be God dependent. Because if He was to release to you what you've been crying out for, it would crush you because you're not ready for that yet. So before, you need to get ready. In that place of waiting is where God is watching to see how you're going to respond. He's watching to see, are you holding on in that waiting and continuing to trust God? Continuing to wait on God. You see, I may not yet have seen what God has said, but I will hold on in this place, believing that God is doing a good work in me. Because like a seed is sown, the work needs to be done underneath before the work can ever be seen in the surface. Great work has to be done in us before great work can be done through us. Right now, what do you sense in your season? What do you sense what work God needs to do in you? I understand these are the most difficult sermons to preach because they're sermons that require us to take action. They're sermons that require us that if we truly want to see God move in us, He's got to do a great work in us. If we truly want to see us become a part of building something great in our lives and in our homes and in our families and in our communities, God must first build something deep in us. Oftentimes, He needs to rip out and remove roots in us so that He can build a healthy foundation in us. But it's in this season of waiting. It's with that weight of waiting that can feel like it's crushing us that we need to step back, like David said, and we need to ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me in this? God, why are you bringing me through this? Would you give light to my eyes to be able to see why I'm here? Would you give light? Would you give me an understanding? Would you reveal to me to see why I'm going through this? What are you preparing in me? So that I can follow the path to which you are leading me on. Who are you forming me to become? So that I can commit to the calling in which you've placed in my life. What are you shaping in me? What are you forming in me? What are you molding in me so that I can become the man or the woman in which you are calling me to be? If David had never been prepared in the wilderness, if David had never been prepared as he was in the cave and the pit of self-doubt and worry and waiting, he would never have been ready for the palace. If he was never being able to trust God when he was no one and he was nothing, he would never be able to trust God when God had made him someone. What about you today? What about you? Do you feel like you're hiding in a cave? Do you feel like you're in that pit of worry and self-doubt? Do you feel like you're in the eye of the storm? Pain is consuming you. Past is reminding you of who you are and who you will never be. And here's the great truth I want to tell you today. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Because it's in this place that God prepares us. It's in the seasons that he prepares us, that he forms us, that very which the prayers we call out when we say, God, would you do a great work in me? God, would you help me to be patient? God, would you help me to be able to see those great things in which you've said to me come to pass? And he goes, okay, so I'll do it. And then we go, God, why is this happening? Because you said you asked for it. You cried out for it. You prayed for it, but it's in that place to remind yourself, God is forming me. He is molding me. He is shaping me. It may be excruciatingly painful, but he's preparing in me the place in which he's calling me to be, for I can become the person in which he is calling me to be. Hey, would you just close your eyes right now and just ask yourself that question? Why? Why? God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Just think for a moment the goodness of God in your life. See, that's where our focus needs to be. David says, I will trust in his unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Hey, we need to focus on the goodness of God. You know, there's some things that we need to stop praying for and we need to start praising for. That we need to focus on praising God. The Message translation says, I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. It's like, God, before you've even answered my prayer, I'm going to praise you for it. I'm going to thank you that you've already said that what you promised me will come to pass. Thank you, God, that you're going to deliver me from this. Help me to be dependent on you. There's a weight to waiting, but there is one who can carry the weight. And his name is Jesus. Hey, this doesn't have to crush you. You do not need to carry this on your own. This is not up to you. This is up to Jesus. But it is up to you relying on Jesus. Depending on Jesus. There is a weight to waiting. There is a burden. There is a heaviness. But there is someone who can carry that weight and remind us, even in this season of waiting, God holds us, and what he has for us is far greater than what we're going through. Hey, with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, right? I know there's many of you here today where you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And God was so good that he knew that we needed someone to help us, so he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And I believe today, in this moment, in this place, that if we just surrender our lives to Jesus, he gives us that hope that we're looking for. He gives light to our eyes to be able to see the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. And with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to give your life to Jesus. And what I'm going to do is just going to count to three, the end of the count of three, just going to ask that you raise your hand with me, and we're just going to pray together a very simple prayer, but believing that Jesus is the Lord of your life, surrendering your life to him. So just make that decision in your heart. Very simple thing, but it's also a sign of surrender. Make that decision and join me after one, two, three, just raise your hand and where you are and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here today? Thank you. I just wonder if we could just pray this prayer together, believing in our hearts, saying, Jesus, I want to receive the gift of eternal life with you. I have sin in my life and I need your forgiveness. Today I choose to follow you. I believe that I am forgiven, that I am set free, and by your grace, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen.